We're grateful that you're here, that you've taken the time to join us, to join your friends, to be part of this wonderful Amway family, and to spend some time together tonight looking at this business. We're going to try to make sure we get the big picture stuff, make sure we bring it down a little more detail, kind of get an outside perspective. We want to give a well-rounded view of who we are so that we know where we're going. Once we get that foundation, we know where we're going. So what we want to talk about tonight kind of takes from the lines of what Dad was saying. It's an idea. I want to spend some time tonight, my section, talking about this idea, this Amway idea. What does it mean? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for all of us? And I want to make sure it gets linked as we go through this in the Amway business of helping you achieve your potential, achieve your goals, your aspirations. Because this business is successful not because of what we want to do. It's successful because of you and what you are doing. That's what makes this business successful. And we want to talk about this. So why do we do this? Why do we want to talk about this? Because we have a strong belief that the beliefs we share will drive our behaviors, that they will unleash the potential within us, and that if we take the time to be together and understand what they are and commit ourselves to do the work necessary, we can accomplish great things together. That's what this night is about, and that's where we want to go. And so it's a joy to be able to take this heritage that we have and talk about the strength that we have for our future. You know, the power of an idea is an incredible thing. Last week, I was in Philadelphia, really the birthplace of our nation. We were at Independence Hall, and I currently serve as a trustee on the board of the National Constitution Center. Mom and Dad have been very involved with the organization as well. It's really an incredible privilege to be there and to think of the history of the United States and what happened there. And being part of the center to celebrate the Constitution and what holds us together. We were trying to collect and display at the National Constitution Center certain artifacts. They were trying to find copies of the Declaration of Independence or of the Constitution or other important documents that were part of this process. And as we were talking about that, somebody from the National Park Service said, well, we have some documents at Independence Hall. Why don't we come and we can talk about how we preserve them, how we take care of them. And so if you get some, you'll know how to do it. We can share some best practices here, some learnings. And it was incredible. We kind of snuck in after hours. She was in charge of the National Park Service, so it was okay. We snuck into this place, past security, and we're looking at the documents, and they had one of the copies of the Declaration of Independence and one of the copies of Articles of Confederation and another copy of the Constitution. And the curator at the museum there was talking about these documents, and we were fixated on these documents. And she began to tell the story. She said, when people come here, we want them to see these documents. But no matter what we do to preserve the paper, to preserve the words, over time, they're going to deteriorate. They're going to go away. So it's important for us when we see these here to make sure we tell the story about the ideas that are contained in these documents. That's what's important. And that's why they're so important, because these ideas live on. It's not the document. To a certain extent, it's not even the words, because even though the words are important, but it's the ideas that those words are representing. That's the vital piece of the puzzle. And it was a wonderful time, but I began to reflect on that and think about the time we were going to have tonight, and remembering another time we had, and actually was part of the recording of that video to celebrate our 50th anniversary a while ago. And when we were getting all of us together, we had people, leaders from all over the world together. We were talking about the event and what we wanted to do and what messages we would want to convey. What do we want to say? And Steve and Dad and I got together and said, you know, we want to talk about our heritage. We want to talk about the foundations of this business. The things that were present, the ideas that were our foundation that were present 50 years ago. We want to make sure everyone knows they're alive and well today and that they will be the foundation for the next 50 years and beyond. Right? And so we did. Dad spent the time talking about the founders' fundamentals of freedom, family, hope, and reward. And Steve talked about our values, and he went through them, and I had a chance to talk about our cause of economic freedom and free enterprise and the opportunity for people all over the world to have a business of their own. A business of their own. Because it's these ideas that have shaped this company, and it's these ideas that have improved the lives of so many people around the world because these ideas have been taken into people's hearts. And the work that was done by committed individuals to turn those ideas into the successes that you have earned today. So I want to spend some time making sure we understand these a little bit, dig in a little deeper. And it's kind of interesting when we're such a global organization, isn't it? So many of you are speaking different languages. So many of you have family from different parts of the world. And this is really what our business opportunity is all about. It's a global business today. And it's kind of funny sometimes at press interviews in China, they'll say, now, Amway, I've heard that stands for the American way. And I go, yeah, it does. And you would think that people would go, oh, that's, you know, how do you get away with being called Amway in other countries around the world, the American way? And I think some of you may know, in the years past, Dad and Jay actually thought about that. When we first started in Canada, they considered calling it Canway. And then Australia, Ausway. But now we're in Austria, so which one is Ausway? They began to kind of play with that a little. Can you imagine how confused we would be today? But they understood that the Amway name and the pursuit of the American dream or the American way was not confined by borders just to a country. Like the Constitution, it was a set of ideas that reached people all over the world. And that's what it is today. And so at the 50th anniversary, we wanted to talk about that and make sure we knew that this was our foundation for our future and that we were going to focus on long-term goals, not just short-term gains. Because if we lived our lives in the short term every day and that was it, life would be really tough because every day brings another crisis, doesn't it? Now, I don't know how you properly define crisis, but every day when I look on the news, there's another crisis. No matter what it is. I don't know if there's a global definition or standard for crisis, but it seems like whatever's happening today. Right? I was in Russia a couple years ago doing an interview, and it was at the 2009, at the height of the global economic crisis. I guess that made it a crisis because it was global, it was economic. I don't know. It was a crisis. And the reporter said, we're going to talk about the crisis today. And I said, well, I was kind of here to talk about Amway, but okay. If you want to talk about the crisis, we'll talk about the crisis. She goes, so tell me a little bit about what's Amway's product strategy because of the economic crisis. And I said, well, you know, the marketplace here is very strong and solid, and, you know, we'll work through this. And so our strategy is, you know, our health and beauty strategy and our quality standards and the things we're doing with research and development. And so I gave what I thought was a really good answer. She was having nothing to do with it. She goes, yeah, okay. So tell me about your operational strategy because of the economic crisis. And I said, well, kind of like my previous answer, you know, we don't just get focused on the short term. We've made a long-term commitment and went through it, and she didn't like that one either. And finally, okay, tell me about your, you know, I don't, whatever, your distribution strategy because of the crisis. And I finally reached out, and I grabbed her arm, and I said, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. You know, let's stop talking about the crisis. We're going to get through this. It'll be bad, sure, but it'll get better. But so many times in life, it's easy to get stuck, isn't it? When things aren't going well, when you're not where you want to be, you tend to get so focused on those things, you forget about the long term. You know, I remember my father talking about his youth when he was growing up. He grew up during the Great Depression of the United States in the 1930s. And his father was out of work. Their family lost their home. They had to move into a small room in his grandparents' home and live there. And it was difficult for many years. And his dad would tell the story. He would say, "We knew we were in a tough spot, but we never believed we were going to stay there. We believed that no matter how tough it got, we were going to work our way through it and get to a better place." Dad would say, even when his father was out of work and couldn't provide for his family like he wanted to, his father still was encouraging Dad to say, "It's going to get better. We're going to work through this. I'll find a job again. We'll get work again. We'll find a home again. We'll work through it." And that message is still so important for all of us today, isn't it? Because it's easy to get caught up in the crisis of the day. And I want to convey to you tonight that we understand whatever challenge you may be dealing with, whatever it may have been that brought you into this business and that is giving you the encouragement or the impetus to do what you are doing, I want to make sure we keep focused on the long term together and where we can go in the future. In the Amway business, we believe we're not stuck in a bad place. We just got to do some work to get us through to a better place. It's going to take a little time, and it might take a few new ideas. It might take a little harder work, but we're going to get through to a better place. You know, as we got together and we continued to think about how do we articulate that, I said, you know, our vision is to help people live better lives. Whatever that means to you. I've had a lot of people say, "Well, what's your vision for the business?" And I say, "Well, you tell me first. It's your business. What's your vision for your business? Our vision is to help you achieve your vision. That's what we're here for." And we want to help as many people as we possibly can. That's what every leader in this business is doing. That's how this business is successful. The leaders in this business are leaders because they've done the best job helping other people be successful. That's what it's all about. So we stand on that vision. And we believe that the best way to bring that into reality, our cause, is to help people have a business of their own. That business ownership. And having something of your own and pursuing economic freedom for yourself is the best way for you to achieve a better life. You know, in the Amway business, we spend a lot of time linking these two things together, and I want to expand on that a little bit. We talk about a business of your own and economic freedom. And we also talk about personal choices and personal freedom. And we've long believed that those two are together. Dad and Jay always would describe them as Siamese twins. You can't separate the two of them. And it gets a little deeper than that. I saw some research done recently of how a group of people brought together the greatest minds around the world, and they started to ask them, they said, how do we deal with the largest problems the world faces? There's still people who are hungry. There are still people who die of simple diseases that in some part of the world are cured, but in so many parts of the world are not. There's still wars that are going on. How do we take care of our environment? How do we help educate people and help them see the world around them? And the question was posed, they're all Nobel laureates and all the smart people of the world, of where would you start first? If you take all the problems, what do you do first? What's the key to unlock the door to enable us to deal with the other ones? And the answer was economic development, economic freedom. Because until you have a level of economic freedom in your life, it's hard to care too much about other things. If you don't know where you're going to eat tomorrow, if you don't know how you're going to provide for yourself tomorrow, it's hard to think about your neighbors. It's hard to think too far in the future. And there was a feeling that until you have pursued policies as governments or world leaders that promote and help people develop economic freedom, that the other issues will continue to be solved at a lesser rate. And I thought, wow, they're talking about Amway. They're talking about us, right? This is what we do. This is what we do. This is who we are. And I want to be cautious. I don't mean to say, Amway is the solution to every problem in the world. But we're on the right track. And we know that it starts with people who can take care of themselves and who can see the world around them and then are compelled to help others take care of themselves as well. Right? The answer. It's not the perfect answer. We're not the perfect business. We still have to challenge ourselves to be better every day. But we believe we're on the right track. We believe that we're doing the right things. And so I want to put the event tonight in the context of understanding the bigger picture, the long-term picture, the role we play in society, and the strength of these ideas and how we can use them in a powerful way to help people in your community and around the world. Because that's what we want to accomplish. So there's a few things, as we get a little deeper here, there's a few things I'd love you to take away from tonight. I've got a couple things that I think you can take away in nuggets, and I hope you would consider as we go through the evening tonight. When we talk about these big concepts, when we talk about these big ideas, let's remember, first of all, it's all about people. When we talk about economic freedom and we talk about business ownership, it would be easy to think it's all about money. But it's not. You know that, and I know that, and we need to make sure by our behavior the world knows it. Because it's all about people. The founding documents that we looked at in Philadelphia last week talk about the pursuit of happiness. And we want people to be happy, to be successful, to enjoy your life. We talk about those sorts of issues of quality of life. And so many times people define it as, if I had a little more money, then I'd be happy. Right? Usually people talk like that. I have a friend, Arthur Brooks, from the American Enterprise Institute, who studied it, reviewed it, and said, what makes people happy? And it's not money. Everybody would say, a lot of people would say that if I just had a little bit more, and they even defined 20% more, then I'd be happy. But as soon as people earn 20% more, they're still not happy. What's the key to happiness? Money is a tool. It's a measure. But it's not the focus. Because there's two things about money that we all know and that we all were taught really early in life, right? Number one, you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. A few years ago, we were in China. We went to see the Terracotta Warriors. Unbelievable excavation. The emperor wanted to take his warriors with him into the afterlife. He didn't do real well. They're all still right there where they were buried. He's not there. You can't take stuff with you. When it's time, when our lives here on earth are finished and we meet our Maker, it's just us. And the things you did in your life that matter. Second thing is, as I was alluding to earlier, it doesn't make you happy. The study said that happiness is linked to earned success. Earned success. Setting a goal and doing the work necessary to get there. Wherever that may be, if you start at a modest level and you set a modest goal and you achieved your goal, that is a bigger impact on happiness than how much money is associated with where that goal was. That's the linkage. Setting a goal and working toward it. Earning the success that you've achieved. Now everybody wants to go back and say, yeah, but I'd still like to win the lottery. I'd still like to win the lottery. Well, they did research with people who won the lottery. Didn't increase their happiness. They had more money. Didn't increase their happiness. They were about as happy as they were before. But in this business, you link your work to your reward. And the work you do for yourself, and even more so for others, is the secret in the Amway business to the fact that we can join together and celebrate on a night like this together, because you've done the work necessary to earn your success. It's all about people. Many years ago, my father was in Malaysia. It was our first year in Malaysia, anniversary. We were there for a convention. He had the chance to meet the Prime Minister of Malaysia. And as they were discussing the economic issues of the day, the Prime Minister said, you know, we're struggling here in Malaysia today because our greatest natural resources in Malaysia are copper, tin, and oil, and their prices are depressed on the global marketplace, and so our economy is suffering. And then he turned to Dad and he said, but your business is growing. You had a whole bunch of people meet you at the airport. You're having a big convention with a lot of people, and your business has had a great start. He said, what's your secret? And his dad said, well, respectfully, Mr. Prime Minister, you may think the greatest natural resources of Malaysia are copper, tin, and oil. But in the Amway business, we believe the greatest resources of Malaysia are the people of Malaysia. And we focus on people. And we have focused on people in every market where we do business, in every neighborhood with where we are. We have to stay focused and understand that it's all about people. The second thing that we talk about, and I'd love you to take back, is that economic freedom needs sound economic principles. We have been proud advocates for our business, for the beliefs that we hold about the right way to create an environment in this world where people can be successful and where they can turn that economic freedom into a better life for themselves and for others. Now, sometimes that gets us into trouble with the way we talk about things, and we want to be cautious with how we talk about our beliefs and how we talk about what's important for the pursuit of a government, because we operate in some markets where there's great economic success, and we operate in some markets where there's very little economic success and great challenge. And we continue to be proud advocates of the free enterprise system and what that has done to countries and for people all over the world. When the wall came down between East and West in Europe, the Amway business was there. We sponsored 1% of the former East German population in the first year. They all got in the Amway business. Now, we weren't prepared or able to support them the way that we wanted to, but they saw in our business the economic freedom that they were looking for. And they wanted to be part of it. And we're proud to advocate those principles. If you ever come to Ada at our headquarters, out in front of the headquarters building, you'll see all the flags representing the countries in which we do business around the world. And in between those flags, you'll see different plaques. And they're the 10 pillars of economic wisdom. And they were developed in the 1930s by the American Economic Foundation, a group out of Ohio. They were developed and displayed in 1964 at the World's Fair in New York. And Dad and Jay became enamored with the exhibit and at some point in the 70s purchased it and brought it to Ada because those were the economic principles we believed in as a nation would create the environment for our business to thrive and for other businesses to thrive, and that was going to be the key to help people. Principles are pretty simple. Kind of go through the 10 points, and I'm not going to try to go through them with you all today, but in essence, it's kind of summed up in the second one. That says, the first one talks about the cost of goods and how you have to have a cost and a price. You got to do the work necessary. And the second one is that government is never a source of goods. Everything that governments give to the people, it must first take from people. Right? Written in the 1930s. And we're still talking about it today, aren't we? We're proud advocates of helping people. And we believe that the way to help people is to create an environment where people can help themselves. And when people can't help themselves, sure, we're there to assist. You bet. But all we ask from governments here and around the world, just create a level environment or a good environment with a level playing field. We don't want any special favors. We don't want any unique deals. We just want an environment in which we can operate. And that's what we try to do is in this business as well. We have a common set of rules. We try to do the best we can to create that environment, to provide you support. But we can never do the business for you. Only you can build the business for yourself. Right? Only you can do the work necessary to be successful. And as the 10 pillars goes on, it talks about ownership and about owning your own business, or in the context of the 10 pillars, owning the tools of production and how they are always more productive when they are in the hands of the individual, of the entrepreneur, than when they're in the hands of a government or a state. Because the individual will always work harder and make those tools more productive. And it ends with talking about the fact that people are always better off in an environment where the economic decisions are made by the millions of progress-seeking individuals. And this has been demonstrated around the world. As a business, our belief is putting the future in your hands. Our confidence in you as progress-seeking individuals to make the right decisions, to make the ethical decisions, to do the right work and the tough work necessary to be successful. That is the belief and the confidence that we have in you, and we know our future is secure when we put that belief in you because that's the right place to put it. Right? Well, the next thing I'd love you to take away is you have to lead by example. It's about your actions, about what you do. It's not about what you say. At some point, you got to take these ideas and put them into an activity. When I was early in my career, I was the general manager of Amway United Kingdom, living in England. And I was young, inexperienced, and a little nervous. And I was scared of making the wrong decision. So I thought the best strategy to make sure I didn't make a mistake was to not do anything. And I was pretty good at it, too, for a while. Luckily, I had a boss who kind of called me in one day and said, look, You got to do something. Anything. I don't care if you go in your office, close the door, and flip a coin. You got to make a decision. You got to take action. Well, I didn't quite flip a coin when I got back to my office after that meeting, but I did clear things out and say, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. I had to make some decisions. I had to take some action. I had to do something. I want you to make sure you go away from tonight thinking about the actions that you're going to take. We can't prescribe them for you. But I want you to consider the commitments that you're going to need to make. The Amway business is a simple business, but it's not easy. It's a challenge. You will have to do things you didn't think you could do. In some cases, things you didn't want to do. Because it's tough. But those are the things from which you will learn and which you will grow and which will take you forward. I want to encourage you to take actions, to think for yourself what your next steps will be from tonight as you go forward in your business. That's what keeps the business alive, these ideas alive. Sometimes people would ask Dad and Jay in years past, what was the secret? You know, what was the secret to your success? You know, amazing what's happened. You must have had great vision when you started in 1959. You must have thought all of this was going to happen. And they would laugh and they'd say, we had no idea. We never would have dreamed something like this could happen. We were just trying to take care of ourselves and our families. Well, what was the secret? I said, the secret was we went to work every day. That's it. Well, it's not exactly it. They went to work every day with an attitude of making the business better. They didn't just go in and put in the hours. They did the hours. But they did it with the attitude of improving the business. What can we do to improve? What can we do to make it better? And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Well, the last one I want to have you take away is that this is an equal opportunity for everybody. An equal opportunity for people to fail. An equal opportunity for people to succeed. But it is open to everybody. And it was open to everybody from the very first day that this business got started. It didn't matter what your background was. It didn't matter what your heritage was. It didn't matter which country you came from or which language you spoke. This was a business opportunity for all. And we have to make sure we stand firm on that today. That we continue to expand and reach out. Now, I know it's an opportunity for everybody. For some people, they may not do it. It may not fit for them. But don't stop sharing the opportunity. Let them make that decision. Don't make that judgment for them. You know, for years, there were people who, you know, psychologists would, in the early days of the business, would say, you know, what we need to do is we need to develop a psychological profile of those who are most successful in Amway, and then what you would do is you wouldn't have to take your time talking to all those other people. You would just focus on these people. You know where I'm going with this, right? You've all done the same thing. And Dad and Jay and the leaders would all laugh. Who knows? It's our job to make sure this opportunity is available for everybody. It's their job to make the decision if they're going to do it or not. But it's up to us to share it. You know, as we start this and we talk about these ideas, and we kind of bring it together with some things I hope you take away, I also want to encourage you to do it in a spirit of stewardship. This business started over 50 years ago. My father and Jay Van Andel, and Jay's past. Many of you who are here have shared a little time in second generation. Some of your parents have passed. Some in this business are in the third and now even the fourth generation. And it is up to all of us to be good stewards with these ideas, to make sure we understand what they mean, that we take them seriously, and that we live them and share them in the best sense of the word. Being good stewards. You know, it was, gosh, 7 years ago now, almost 6.5 years ago since Jay passed away. And I remember I was in Washington, D.C. at the time, and I flew home that day and saw Steve, and we were going to have a bit of a press conference to kind of talk about it. People were starting to hear, and Dad came to the office, and it was a tough day. Dad had lost his partner and lifelong friend. But as we were at the press conference, he began to get very upbeat. And it was almost awkward for me. He began to talk at the press conference about how the business goes on. And that even today, with Jay's health had been failing for years, and with his passing, the business goes on. We're still moving forward. We're still going ahead. And it seemed funny until I remembered some of the stories Dad had said, some of the things he had talked about in the early days of the business. Somebody had asked Jay at a meeting, raised a question, said, "Jay, what will happen to the business if you or Rich die?" And Jay said, "What do you mean, if we die?" "We're going to die." And Dad and Jay talked about the importance of this business truly being a business for generations to come. And that with Jay's passing, he saw one of their dreams come true, that the business was still strong beyond them because they knew the business was for you, not about them. It was about you. And that made all the difference. I mentioned earlier that I had an assignment in Europe, young in my career, and I was very nervous about it. And at the time I was going, Jay said, "All right, let me talk to you about it." He encouraged me. He gave me some tips and some pointers. And then he said, "You know, I'm really counting on you to do a great job over there." And I remember leaving the meeting going, "Really? You're counting on me? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm scared. I'm nervous." Well, it wasn't until my assignment was complete and I was coming back home when I reflected on that meeting again. And I realized he wasn't just talking to me. And he wasn't just talking about that assignment. He was really talking about to all of us about this business. Counting on you to do a great job. Counting on you to set your goals and work hard to achieve them. Counting on you to help others as they struggle. Counting on you to be the leadership example necessary. Counting on you to pay attention to what's happening in this business and in working to improve it. Counting on you to operate at an ethical level and standard that is beyond question. Counting on you to remember the ideas that brought us together, that hold us together, and that will keep us together for generations to come. Right? And I know that as we come together at a night like this, in countless meetings that you've experienced and that we will experience in the future, if we come together with the attitude of making this business better every day, I know working together, we won't let him down. Thanks, everybody, for your time. Thanks for coming and being with us. Have a great night. Talk to you later.